1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. We'll read one verse, and we'll read this verse in unison together. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. First John chapter 5, verse number 7. All right, you ready? Let's read. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, thank you so much for being in this place, and it's so obvious. Lord, I believe heaven was throwing a party today because of what happened here on this property. Lord, we sure were excited. I believe that you were. I believe you kind of unscrewed the lid on this thing and just gave us an extra dose this morning. But Father, this morning's blessings won't do because we're sinners. We need you again tonight. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May you rest upon him as you work through him to us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
We read a verse just a moment ago from 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. And in that verse, we see the three parts of our triune God mentioned. We have one God, but that God has three parts. You say, explain it to me. Oh, I could a little, but I don't really want to much because I just trust the fact that he said he's one God that has three parts. If I could explain everything to you about God, I'd be as smart as God. And if that were the case, we'd all be in trouble. So I'm glad we have a God that's bigger than some of our explanations. There is a God, a Heavenly Father. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Tonight we'll talk about that Holy Spirit. With 101 people saved this morning, it would be good that some of those that are here tonight learn something about the Holy Spirit of God that now lives within them. With as many new converts as our church has been gathering in at such a rapid rate, it sure won't hurt us to learn a little more about the Holy Spirit of God tonight. I do not run from the teaching of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I run to it. I'm not afraid of the doctrine. The doctrine is very clear in the Bible, only confusing to those who choose to confuse it. This last week we had an exciting service where the topic of the Holy Spirit was preached. But I can guarantee you this, one sermon is not adequate to make all the explanations about the Holy Spirit necessary, nor would I want anyone confused. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is of great importance to a church like ours because we indeed want to see the Spirit of God move. But let me make something very clear. This is not a Pentecostal church. It is a Baptist church. When the Bible speaks of the gift of speaking in tongues, that was a known language. It was not a heavenly gibberish that made no sense. It was a language. This is not an Assemblies of God church. This is a Baptist church. We're not a Pentecostal church. We're not a charismatic church. You will not be slain in the Spirit here. You may be slain by a bus kid, but you won't be slain by the Spirit here. But we do believe in the power of God. We do believe in it. There are times in the Bible, as we learned this week, there are times in the Bible when a man of God would lay his hands upon some while they would pray for the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's guidance and the Spirit's power. But let me tell you something. That was not a weird, spooky, or hyper-emotional thing in the Bible. Not at all. Matter of fact, the Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. In other words, supposed to be planned. That way everybody knows what's going on. Our service the other night was a unique one and a once-of-a-lifetime kind of a service. I thought it would be good that I add to it and I come and I teach you some things that you already know, and I'll have to apologize. Don't have anything new to teach you tonight, just the old doctrine of the Bible on the Holy Spirit of God. You listen very carefully. You'll not be amazed. I will not be a theologian that will take you deep. I will be a Bible preacher that wants his people to understand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. So listen carefully. Number one, at salvation, the Holy Spirit of God is sealed inside you. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." When you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, it is actually His Holy Spirit that enters you. I mean, He actually moves into your body to live there. Every saved person has that very same Holy Spirit sealed within them. Let me illustrate it this way. I have a storage shed that I bought when I bought my house. I put some very valuable things in that shed. My tools are in it. They help me to make my house secure, and my tools in there, they help me to build anything new around the house that needs to be built. Those tools in that shed, they fix anything that's broken. And it's comfortable for me to know that I've got access to my tools and I got that shed. Now I have a padlock on the door so my tools can't leave. They're sealed in there. And I'm the only one that has the key. Now listen. God uses your body as the storage place for the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm not trying to be irreverent, but when you got saved, your body became the house of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is very valuable, like my tools are very valuable to me. The Holy Spirit is a tool of God the Father. Jesus bought and paid for you with His blood, like I bought and paid for that shed, and I store inside that shed something very valuable. God stores inside your body something very valuable, and that is the Spirit of the God of the universe. He uses that Spirit to give you security about your salvation. He uses that Holy Spirit to build your faith in the Word of God. He uses that Holy Spirit to fix anything that's broken in your life. Just like the tools that are inside my shed, they're there to help me secure my property. They're there to help me build anything that needs to be built, fix anything that's broken. And His presence there helps to comfort us, just like my having those tools in that shed comfort me about taking care of my house and my property. I have a padlock on my shed. God has a padlock on you. The Holy Spirit is sealed inside you. He is padlocked in there. I'm the only person that has a key to my shed. God's the only person that has a key to that Holy Spirit that's sealed in you. And He said, "I'm not opening that thing up until you're redeemed." The Bible says He's sealed there until the day of redemption. You don't have anything to worry about. He's sealed there. It's permanent. When you get to heaven, that's the only time He's coming out. Because God is the only one that has a key. And so I said this, number one, at salvation, the Holy Spirit of God was sealed inside of you. Number two, the Holy Spirit provides us assurance of our salvation. I said the Holy Spirit provides us the assurance of our salvation. The Bible says in Romans 8:16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You see, the Holy Spirit of God, He's padlocked inside you so you never have to worry about your salvation. God locked Him in there. He sealed Him in there. He said He's not coming out. You ask, "Are you in there, Holy Spirit?" He says, "I'm here." "How long are you in there?" He said, "Till you get to heaven." "Says who?" you ask. He says, "Says the Word of God." You don't have to worry. He's in there. And when you doubt your salvation, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit that's sealed in you. You have gotten away from your surrendering to that Holy Spirit. That's why you're doubting your salvation. He's sealed in there to assure you that you're saved. You didn't seal Him in there. God did. You don't have a key. He's sealed in there. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And that's a doctrine of this holy book. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And God sealed His Holy Spirit in there to prove to you that your salvation is everlasting and eternal. You can't unlock the door and take Him out. I can't unlock the door and take Him out. And God won't unlock the door until the day of redemption. And that takes place in heaven. Now, I said this. I said, number one, at salvation, the Holy Spirit of God was sealed inside of you. I said, number two, that Holy Spirit provides you with the security of your salvation or the assurance of that eternal salvation that He gave you. Number three. And all of you have heard this before. Nothing new to most of you. Some of you that are newer converts, you listen carefully. But let me tell you something. What I'm about to teach you, it's repetitious of something I've taught before. And I'm going to come back to it a little later on in the sermon to make sure you understand something. But let me tell you some of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what He does inside you and for you. For instance, one of the biggest things He does for us is He empowers us for soul winning. When you're looking through the New Testament book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was mentioned often. Why? Because they had a Holy Spirit soul winning revival going on. Thousands of people being saved. These people that say they get the Holy Ghost, but nobody's getting saved around them, I think they got a problem. I don't think they quite totally understand what it's all about. The Bible says in Acts 1:8 that ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost to come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The Holy Spirit was given to get people saved. Am I shocked? Many of you surrendered to let the Holy Spirit of God fill you, and there were 101 people saved in this service today, and in our soul winning efforts, over 200 saved. I'd say that you have surrendered to the Holy Spirit using you to be a soul winner. That's what it's all about. It is the Holy Spirit that helps to entice the lost to the Savior. So, one of the big jobs of the Holy Spirit is soul winning. Number two, the Holy Spirit leads saved people to understand the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." What's it talking about? The Holy Spirit of God is going to lead you to understand the truth of the Bible. Don't you let anybody ever separate the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Ever. 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 They go hand in hand. They never disagree with each other. If somebody says, "Well, the Spirit told me to do this," if they're doing something contrary to the Word of God, they're listening to a spirit, but it's the wrong one. God's Word and God's Spirit are always in 100% agreement. Always, always, always. You see, the Holy Spirit is our internal Bible instructor.
Yes, sir.
He teaches us the Bible. See, lost people don't understand the Bible because they do not have the Holy Spirit sealed within them. The one thing they need is for the Holy Spirit to pull them to Jesus so they can get saved. Then He moves into them. Then they'll get an understanding of the Word of God.
Sir.
I preached in the country of Panama. Our missionary, Byron Willis, interpreted for me. I spoke in the English language. He spoke in the Spanish language. Why? So that people could understand. The Holy Spirit is inside you so He can help you to understand the Word of God as you read it and as it is preached and as it is taught. And so, what are the jobs of this Holy Spirit? Well, He empowers us for soul winning. What is the job of the Holy Spirit? He leads us to an understanding of this holy book. What else? The Holy Spirit convicts us. He convicts us. John 16:8, the Bible says, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin." What's that reprove mean? Convict. Make you feel bad. Thump you in the head. Make you grieve about it. Make you think you're a low down sinner. That's what He does. He makes us notice our sins. He makes us feel bad about our sins. He convicts us using what? His Word. Using what? His man that preaches His Word. Using what? The preaching of His man that preaches His Word. Using what? The conscience that is within us that has been trained by the Word of God. And so, He convicts us. What else? What's another job of the Holy Spirit of God? The Holy Spirit of God will guide us. He will guide us. Hand in hand with the Word of God, the Spirit of God guides the child of God. Acts chapter 8, verse number 29, the Bible says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." What was happening? Well, Philip already knew he needed to be a soul winner. The Spirit of God grabbed a hold of the Word of God that says, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in." And the Spirit of God said, "You need to obey the Scripture that says to be a soul winner. Now go get that one right there."
Amen.
That's what he did. He was being guided by the Spirit of God. You see, again, His Spirit and His Word jointly guide us. They always agree. They perfectly match. They will guide us to win souls. They will guide us to understand the Bible. They will guide us to get the sin out of our life. They will guide us to obey God. What else? The Holy Spirit of God comforts us. Comforts us. John 14:16 it says, "And I pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Now that Comforter there is our Paraclete. It's the one that comes alongside us and comforts us. It's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. It is a great comfort, number one, to know that you're saved. You know something, if everything is falling apart on you in life, if you're saved, you need to lift your hand to the sky and say, "Glory to God, no matter what happens, I'm saved." Now that's comforting. The first thing He'll do to comfort you is to remind you, if all hell cuts loose in your life, if you're a born-again Christian, you ain't going to hell. You're going to heaven someday. So all you got to do is survive 80 or 90 years down here, but you're going to bust through the gates of glory someday, and this whole mess down here will be over with. That brings me comfort. That brings me comfort. But He comforts us more than just the assurance of our salvation and heaven being our final destiny. When our hearts are broken, He is the tool that is sealed inside this old shed of a body that is there to comfort me from the inside out. Now, it's one thing to have somebody comfort you from the outside. But when there's somebody that lives inside you that is the perfect love of God, and He begins to comfort you, there's real comfort in knowing that He's there. So from inside us, He sees and knows and understands every hurt your heart is experiencing. Who are you tonight? You're hurting. Could I recommend something to you? You pray to the Holy Spirit that's inside you. And you say, "Dear Holy Spirit, help me. Nobody knows how bad I'm hurting. Nobody knows how this pain in my life has affected me." And the blessed Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter of God, the one that knows every emotion that you experience, will run to your side, put His arms around you, and say, "Don't worry, it's going to be okay. I'm here, my child." Ask Him to use God's Word to comfort you. I said this, the Holy Spirit has some jobs. What are they? The Holy Spirit, He helps us with our soul winning. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. The Holy Spirit guides us hand in hand with the Word of God as we walk through life. The Holy Spirit comforts us. Now, there are other things that the Holy Spirit does. These are some of the primary things. Let me go on. I said this, number one, at salvation, the Holy Spirit of God was sealed, padlocked inside you. Only God has the key. He's not going to open it up until you get to heaven. Number two, it is the Holy Spirit that provides you with the assurance of your salvation. He's there to help you realize God saved you once and forever. Number three, the jobs of the Holy Spirit, soul winning. An understanding of the Word of God to convict us, to guide us, and comfort us. Now listen very carefully. Number four. At salvation, you got all of Him. You got all of Him. He moved into you. He was sealed in you. Now listen. You got all of Him. He just didn't get all of you. I said, you got all of Him. He just didn't get all of you. You see, all of Him is padlocked inside you, sealed there. God does not unpadlock the door to throw a little more of the Holy Spirit in from time to time, nor does He unpadlock the door to take a little bit of it out from time to time. He is all there. But you must now let Him fill every part of your life. That is what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. When you trusted Jesus as your Savior, He sealed His Holy Spirit inside you. Now you must trust that same Holy Spirit in each and every area of your life. You received Him as Savior by faith. Now, by faith, you are to open up your life and let Him bleed into every part of your life. Let Him fill every area of your life. You ought to be a Holy Spirit-led mom and a Holy Spirit-led dad. And you ought to go to work tomorrow morning, not just having religion on Sunday, but having it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Hey, and when Christmas time rolls around, you ought not be going to the Christmas parties that the Holy Spirit does not want you at. You see, to be filled with the Spirit of God, you got saved. He sealed Himself inside of you. You got all of Him. He just didn't get all of you. And if you want to be filled with His Spirit, you've got to open up every area of your life and let that precious Holy Spirit bleed into every part of your life. Let Him get into your finances. Let Him get into your marriage. Let Him get into your child rearing. Let Him get into your home. Let Him get into where you work. Every time you trust God's Word and obey it, you're making it so His Spirit gets to expand within you to fill your life a little more, filling you more and more. It's almost as if His presence in you inflates as you allow Him to have your life. By the way, not only could you surrender to Him so He could expand Himself and fill you, you could also suppress Him. When He moved into you, God sealed Him in there. You can shove Him all the way in a back corner. You can shove Him all the way into a closet. You can limit Him. You can decrease His influence. You can deflate His influence. Let me show you something. I have a balloon here. We're going to allow this balloon to picture the Holy Spirit of God. When you got saved, God sealed this balloon in you. That's the Holy Spirit of God. So you know, it is the breath of God that inflates the Spirit of God. You go all the way back to the creation of man. The Bible says that God breathed into man the breath of life. Now listen, here's the Spirit of God. You got saved. He moved into you. He sealed there. Your obedience to God's Word allows Him to expand in your life. So you obey God, and what happens? He gets into another part of your life. So you obey God again, and you start coming to Sunday night church, just not Sunday morning church. And what does God do? You start going soul winning like you ought to. So what does God do? The Spirit expands in your life. And expands in your life. And expands in your life. And expands in your life. Why? Because of your obedience to the Word of God. Don't you be careful letting anybody teach you a doctrine that is some ooky, spooky kind of stuff. When you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. He lives inside you. The only problem is, you got all of Him and He didn't get all of you. And as you clean up your life and get all the junk out of your life, you give Him room to expand and become more powerful and usable in your life. Oh, but here's what happens to some of you. He's in there and you disobey. And you reduce His influence. 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 Now He's still in you. He's in there desiring that His influence be inflated and allowed to be in every part of your life. He may be deflated in your life, but He's still the Holy Spirit. He still has every capability that He always had. He's sitting on the edge of a seat in your heart, just waiting for you to say, I submit to You. I'll read my Bible. I'll go to church. I'll go soul winning. I'll do right. Why? So God can place His lips on the spigot, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. Begin to fill you back up. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's never taken out. He's never unsealed. He's in there. So what is it that, what does the Bible mean when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? It means you have allowed Him to expand into every part of your life, into your mind, into your heart. That's what it's all about. Now, you must let Him inflate your balloon. I cannot inflate your Holy Spirit fullness. I can't. You can't inflate mine. If that were the case, I could go to some person that's up to no good, living in wicked sin, go over and say, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I can't do that. I can't inflate your balloon. You can't inflate my balloon. But I can influence you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can preach to you about letting Him fill you. I can teach to you about letting Him fill you. I can pray for you about letting Him fill you. I can pray with you about Him filling you. For instance, the other night, we had people come forward. Some of them prayed, and we prayed that the Holy Spirit of God would be prevalent in their life, and they'd do what God wants them to do. But I'm going to tell you something. If you think because I touched you, you got a great big old hairy dose of the Holy Spirit of God, you're crazy.
Amen. Amen.
You don't get it from me.
Right.
You get it from God.
Yes.
And I'm sure of that as I'm standing here.
Yes.
You get it from God.
Yes.
Holy Spirit fullness is between you and Him. There's no transfer of power between human beings. God's power comes from God. Now, I could put my hands on you and I could pray for you and ask that God help you to get the Holy Spirit of God, but I'm going to tell you something. He's going to look right inside you. He's going to look in your heart. He's going to look at the filth in your life, and you can say, I want it. But if you're filled with pride and filled with sin and filled with all the trash of this world, He's not going to fill you.
That's right.
You got to empty yourself of self before He can fill you. And God's the only one that knows whether that's happened or not. And so, you must let Him inflate you. I can't inflate you. You can't inflate me. Thank God. Thank God for a service where a preacher tells us we ought to be calling upon the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. Thank God for that. I'm glad to pray with you about it. But I thought you need to know, hey, you better stop and realize something. You could ask Him for all the fullness you want. But if your heart and your life is full of wrong and sin and you're hiding things, God already knows. God knows that. He wants to do this with the Holy Spirit that is sealed in you. Lord, I won't read my Bible. Lord, I'm going to pray. Lord, I'm getting the beer out of the fridge. Lord, I'm giving up them cigarettes. Lord, I'm going to love my enemies. Lord, I'm going to pay my bills on time and be honest. Lord, I'm going to give the preacher certificates to Dairy Queen. And Lord, I'm going to cuss my boss. Lord, I'm going to hit my wife. Lord, I'm not going to show up for church faithfully. Lord, I'm going to lust. Now, you can listen to everybody that you watch on television. They're all about half full of prunes. But I'm telling you, as simply as I know how, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember next. Holy Spirit fullness is not a one-time occurrence. It's a continual task. You don't get filled once and it's everlasting. Not at all. It's a daily inflating. Every day you better get up and make sure your balloon's full. Every day you better make sure you keep that sin out of your life and keep that pride and that hatred out of your life so God can fill you. Because the truth is, this old balloon, and any preacher here that's listening to me said, Brother Owens, that's exactly the way to put it. Every preacher alive, if he's got any sense, is always worried about his balloon. I worry about my balloon constantly. I wake up and I say, God, I got something in my life. I need to get it right with that person. I need to get it right with that person. And God, I'm sorry. I sinned against you. Why? I need my balloon blown up. I can't stand up here and preach all by myself. I can't change life. I'm a human being. But I know somebody that can change life. It is the God of the universe. And if I can get Him doing the work from inside me, we can make something happen.
Amen.
I've always got to protect my balloon.
Amen.
I've got to protect it. And every day I got to check up on me. Every day. Every day. You don't get filled once and so you're puffed up all the rest of your life. That's not so. Now we're all getting a little bit puffy, but it has nothing to do with balloons. It's a constant need, a constant desire. Very few people walk with God to the point that they could say they're constantly filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Very few. Very few. Why? Because we don't have the character to walk with God like that. Don't have the character to read your Bible every day and pray every day. Be aware of the Spirit's guidance every day. Very few people will pay the price to have their mind locked in on God 24 hours a day to make sure they're doing right.
Amen.
Very few. Next. When you are seeking or asking for His fullness, let me tell you what you're doing. You're saying, I want You to control every area of my life. Holy Spirit of God, fill me! We're not talking about you getting a rumbling in your tummy. We're not talking about all of a sudden you get feeling vibrations. You just got bad gas, baby. We're not talking about some spooky, eerie, weirdo stuff. It's not what the Bible's teaching. It's you saying, I want You to have control of every area of my life. You're asking Him to inflate Himself within you to 100%. You're asking Him to show you any sin or disobedience that might hinder full inflation of the Holy Spirit of God. He's trying to fill every area of your life. You should want to remove any hindrance. I believe some of the people that came forward the other night, I think what they were coming forward to do is say, okay, Lord, I've been holding out on You. I've been holding out. And I want Your influence on my life. I've decided to get serious about my Christianity. Praise the Lord. You're saying this when you're asking for Holy Spirit's fullness. I recognize Your desire to fill me. And I'm willing to do my part. You just don't get filled because you want to. There are prerequisites. The Bible's very clear on that. You've got to make room for Him to expand. Now, hey, you made room for Him when you, by faith, trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. He moved into you. He's there, sealed in there. He's just waiting to see what you're going to let Him do. Either you're going to shove Him in a corner and say no, or you're going to say, I want to be filled with Your Spirit, God, and begin to get the sin out of your life and put good in your life so He can expand and expand and expand till every area of your life is being filled with the Spirit of God. You say, well, what's the results of that, Brother Owens? I'm glad you asked. The results of Holy Spirit fullness. It increases His ability to do His job.
Yes, sir.
Remember earlier I told you what His jobs were? You see, it's not weird or strange occurrences. No, that's not what this is talking about. When the Holy Spirit is allowed to fill every area of your life, when you let Him increase in your life, you are allowing Him to increase at doing the job that God put Him in there to do. Like what? Increase your security or your belief in His promise that once you're saved, you're always saved. People, there are people that got saved here this morning. They trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They got saved. They'll walk out of this church and never come back to a Bible-believing church, and in a few months they may doubt their salvation. Are they still saved? Yeah. But I'll tell you what. They did not submit to the Holy Spirit of God and start learning the Word of God. They will walk out of here with some insecurity about their salvation. But if they would have gotten into church and learned the Word of God, the Holy Spirit would begin to expand in their life, and they would have that security that we have. They got saved the same way you did and the same way I did. But if we don't get them into the church where they can learn, then they're not going to have the expanded influence of the Holy Spirit. And what is one of His jobs? To give us the security of our salvation. Is this making sense to you? Am I the only one that's enjoying this? That's all right. I enjoy it all by myself. You can put me in an empty room and I can self-entertain for hours. What's the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Soul winning.
Yes, ma'am.
Witnessing.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If you are truly filled with the Spirit of God, everybody in the book of Acts it was without telling others about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Say, what the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, if you get it, you're supposed to be getting it for a purpose. It's not supposed to be this eerie, spooky, weirdo stuff. You're getting it because you need that influence to keep people out of hell. So when you increase His influence in your life, when you're being filled with the Spirit of God, it merely increases His ability to do what He was put there to do. Why was He put there? To give you the assurance of your salvation. Why was He put there? He was put there so you could go witnessing and have confidence and bring people to the Savior. Dr. Carl Hatch. Filled with the Spirit of God. Because He's a great preacher? No. Though He is. gave an invitation today and 101 people walked the aisle. I don't think a bit of it was sugar-coated. Did you notice anything sugar-coated this morning? Souls being saved. You give me a church that truly is interested in the true doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God, there'll be going to be people getting saved. They are going to get saved. That's why, if we expand His influence in our church, it is going to show up with souls saved. It's going to show up with secure Christians that say, I'm saved and I know I ain't. I'm saved and I know that I'm saved. How do you know that? The Holy Spirit of God has secured it in my heart. Because you've let Him expand in your life to give you that security. Now, whether you have the security or not, you're saved. If you got saved according to the Bible, you're saved. What else? The result of Holy Spirit fullness. It will help you to have the security of your salvation. More of what He's there for. Soul winning. Then you'll understand the Bible better. The more you expand the Holy Spirit in your life, the more you're going to understand the Bible.
Right.
Quite easy to understand. Why? Well, He and God, they authored this book.
Yes, sir.
I guess He knows all about it. So you surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. You obey the Word of God. It expands the Spirit of God in your life. And then He gives you a better understanding of the Word of God. You are multiplying the areas of His influence. That's why He was put there. How about the area of comfort? He's our comforter, right? There's some of you, you panic, freak out, and fall apart way too easily.
Good.
You look at some and you say, brother, Dr. Carl Hatch was in a wreck. He almost died in it. You know what he said to me today? I mean, terrible wreck. Terrible wreck. A couple years ago, terrible wreck. He said, I'm glad it happened. He said, I wouldn't want to go through it again, but I'm glad it happened. I said, Brother Hatch, why? He said, God used it to get me closer to Him. So you could be in an automobile accident and almost die, but if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you are comforted by God in an immeasurable way. You wonder sometimes how certain people just go through it and go through it and go through it and keep a good spirit and stay on top side and keep on smiling and keep on going. It's because the Holy Spirit of God has expanded in their life and they're getting comfort from on high like you can't imagine. Hey, look, all they're doing is expanding His influence. So, what's the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Everything that He was put there to do is expanded in its influence. Your security, your soul winning, your understanding of the Word of God, your comfort, conviction. He was put there to convict us, right? Let me tell you something. The people that have allowed the Holy Spirit to expand in their lives, they're wanting to fill their lives. They're very sensitive to sin. Very sensitive to sin. They don't want to do something that would damage the Holy Spirit. They don't want to depress the Holy Spirit. And the further away from being filled with the Holy Spirit you are, the less your sin bothers you. I could preach on it for 4 years in a row and you won't budge. Why? You're not filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You just come to church. Your Holy Spirit's deflated. He wants to be inflated. You won't let Him. There are areas in your life you will not let Him expand. You won't let Him fill all the areas of your life.
That's good.
The people that are seeking the Word of God and the Spirit of God are very sensitive about the sin in their life. They get under conviction real easily. It's amazing to me sometimes what sweet and dear people are here. They'll come to me and they'll say, Brother Owens, I think I did something wrong. I'll say, well, what happened? Well, this happened. And I'm thinking, well, that's nothing. What are you worried about? I just feel like I didn't handle myself right. And I think, there's somebody that has such a sweet Holy Spirit about them. Their spirit. They're easily convicted. You listen to me. If somebody has to hammer you and hammer you and hammer you to get you to recognize your sin, you're so far away from being filled with the Holy Ghost, it's pathetic. The closer you are to the Holy Spirit of God, the expanded conviction comes. Guidance is expanded when you're filled with the Spirit. Let me quickly say this and I'm finished. What happens if you have allowed the Holy Spirit's influence to be depressed or suppressed? You know, you can grieve Him. You can discourage Him, if you will. You can quench Him. What's that talking about? Talk about this. There are some of you, you hear preaching, God wants to speak to your heart. You just crush that Holy Spirit. Say, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I won't change. I won't submit. And you virtually press His influence. You cram Him in a corner and say, you stay right there. I'm saved and I'm glad you're in here. I'm going to heaven. But if you think you're going to control my life, you're not. You won't touch that area of my life. You're not touching my music. You're not touching the way I talk. You're not touching my entertainment. You're not touching the way I dress. You're not doing it. So you cram Him into a corner. You suppress His influence in your life. So what does that cause? Well, if increasing His influence in your life increases the jobs for which He was put in there, then decreasing His influence in your life decreases His ability to do the job He was put inside you to do.
Right.
The less of the Holy Spirit that you have, the less secure you are with your salvation. The less Holy Spirit that you've allowed to expand, the less soul winning. The less Holy Spirit that you've allowed to expand, the less understanding of His Word. The less Holy Spirit that you've allowed to expand in your life, the less comfort you seem to have. So you'll go to the psychologist, you'll go start taking some pills, you'll get drunk, all sorts of things that people will turn to trying to figure out. You know what? They need an old-fashioned dose of submitting themselves to the Spirit of God and letting the Holy Spirit take care of them from the inside. The less you submit to Him, the less full you are, the less He can do the jobs He was put inside you to do. The less conviction. The less you feel bad about your sins. Not real sensitive about it. I have some people in this church, somehow, they think that every sermon preached about gossip is for everybody else. It is amazing to me how blind some people are about being a troublemaker in the church. I'd think surely by now they'd say, I think that's probably me. Nope. So blind to it. So insensitive to it. Oblivious to the truth about themselves. Why? Not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You get more guidance if you're filled. Less guidance if you've chosen not to be filled. And so, you want to know about the Holy Spirit of God? There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came and was sealed inside of you. He was put there for some very special purposes. He gives you the security of your salvation. He's going to help you to witness and get people saved. He'll help you to understand the Word of God. He'll help you to be comforted. He'll convict you of your sin. He'll guide you holding hand in hand with the Word of God. You got all of Him when you got saved, but He didn't get all of you. And if you'd like to be filled with the Spirit, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to let Him expand to take over every area of your life. And the areas that you won't let Him have, in those areas you are not filled with His Spirit. The more you let Him fill you, the more He'll get accomplished based on the duties God gave Him. And the less He fills you, the less you'll accomplish based on the duties that God gave Him. The Holy Spirit of God. It's not a weird, spooky, hyper-emotional thing. Service, for instance, that we had last Wednesday. I'm so glad we were just quiet, serene. We prayed for one another. Had people start making all sorts of crazy noises, I would shut her down. I would shut her down. You say you would have stopped it? You better believe I would have stopped it. Have we start doing weird things? No way. That is not the Holy Spirit of God. It's another spirit. I've explained to you the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. Not all of it. Way too big for me to explain to you in this amount of time. But enough of it for you to make sure that everything you do is based on that book. Listen, if I ever come to you and preach another doctrine about the Holy Spirit than what I gave you tonight, I'm wrong. And this book is right. I'm wrong, and this book is right. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, we would invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And let me tell you something great about it. You let Jesus save you. The minute He saves you, the Holy Spirit of God moves into you, and you suddenly you can know for a fact you're on your way to heaven. You can begin to understand. You say, I just don't understand this church. You get saved, it'll help you understand this church. I don't understand the Bible. You get saved, you'll understand the Bible. It'll start coming clear to you. And the more you're in church and the more you're around the Bible, the more the Holy Spirit will expand in your life and give you understanding you never thought you'd have. You'll have the comfort that you're looking for. You'll be able to witness to your friends and make an impact on them. I just this evening wanted to talk to you. And if you can, I wanted to explain the Holy Spirit, because sometimes people don't explain Him real well. And I don't want you to be confused about it. I'm not afraid of the doctrine, not afraid of it in the slightest. I want you to have an understanding and have a grip on it. Anybody that's come this week and prayed that the Holy Spirit of God be upon you, I want that for you. Oh, I want that. Let Him expand in your life. Let Him expand. Let Him use you. But do indeed know this. If He's going to expand, it's going to be between you and Him. You and Him. See, you can fool me and I can fool you, but you can't fool Him. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved tonight, we'd like to invite you to the Savior. What we're going to do is we're going to have an old-fashioned altar call. In a moment, the instrumentalists will begin to play. When they begin to play, we'll stand. When we stand, the choir will sing. If you're not saved, I want you to leave your seat, walk toward the front. The men on my staff will be standing at the end of each aisle. You come and you tell them, I want to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. So if you're not saved, we welcome you to come tonight. If you're saved and you've not made it public, if you've not followed the Lord in believers' baptism, you ought to do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. You're not going to understand a lot about the Bible until you obey the Bible. And if you want the Holy Spirit to explain the Bible to you, you need to obey Him. You need to get baptized. You need to join the church. That's what you need to do. Why? That's what the Bible says. Now, how about it, Christian? What areas of your life are you not allowing Him to fill you? You ought to let Him fill every area of your life. Is there anything between you and the Savior? There's a song that we sing. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. You see, whatever's coming between you and the Savior is keeping the Holy Spirit from expanding His influence into your life. And you ought to want that touch from God, because it is the breath of God that inflates the Holy Spirit within you. How many Christians would say tonight, Brother Owens, God's spoken to my heart about something this evening? And you'll raise your hand and say, that's me. I see hands everywhere. You may put your hands down. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed.